armor-clad figure shot over the lip of the whirlpool and vanished into its yawning maw. Jack's target didn't make a break for it until Mildred actually nudged the other wag. She put her front bumper against its front bumper and began to push, feathering her speed to keep her wheels from spinning and losing traction. She found the wag's gear shift and dropped the transmission into low to get more torque.
Come on, you bastard!
The other wag was lighter since it was unloaded, and even though its parking brake was on, it started to move in reverse. Slowly at first, as Mildred got a feel for how much pressure she could apply. Seeing the roadblock being pushed out of the way, being pushed toward a bend in the road that emptied onto a deep divide, the trooper behind the glass fence fired a last feeble shot, then broke from cover. He had 50 feet of open ground before he reached the next safe spot. From under the wag, Jack took a swinging lead on him and touched off a quick shot. The trooper went down flat on his belly, but he wasn't hit. He squirmed into a prone position and returned fire, trying to keep Jack pinned by hitting the cargo box on that side. Doc moved under the truck and added his weapon to the mix. The invader rolled away, unable to maintain his position in the crossfire. The other ore wag was moving nicely now, even though the brakes were locked. Its rear wheels bumped up and over the shoulder. Mildred kept pushing. Its middle wheels hopped the shoulder, and she gave a final shove.
You're mine now.
Go, Mildred! You got it! You got it!
As the front wheels popped off the road, the rear wheels hung in space. The balance point was on the middle wheels, and they were sliding. The ore wag tumbled into the chasm beyond.
We've got a clear road ahead. We can leave our battle-suited friend right where he is. No need to spend another moment in his dubious company.
Jack and Doc scrambled out from under the far side of the wag and climbed up under the side of the box.
Go, Mildred!
She accelerated up the grade, away from the ambush site. Around the next bend, out of range of the trooper, the physician stopped and got out. She and Dean joined Doc and Jack as they looked into the cargo box. More slaves were dead, hit by the beams directly, or horribly burned alive when the sides of the box heated up. Those who survived were badly shaken.
Look!
Dean pointed at the pair of black gyroplanes sweeping down on them.
The shit never stops, does it?
The companions dropped from the cargo box and jumped into the cab. Laser cannons flashed from the noses of the aircraft. The streaming energy pulses hit the wag's EM shield directly in front of the driver's seat and sheared off to either side. It was a wake-up call. The gyros hovered, holding their fire, as Mildred got the wag moving again.
The cargo box doesn't have an EM shield. If those pilots wanted to, they could just hang right over it and chill all the slaves. Maybe they're as valuable as the road.
Well, it is quite difficult to operate a mine without workers. Mayhap as difficult as it is to move ore without there being a road.
As Mildred continued to climb out of the crater's bowels, the gyros retreated along with her, maintaining position and distance. Then, without warning, the cannons fired again, simultaneously. The two pulses hit the same spot, but the energy flare up the cab's shield was 10 times brighter than before.
Damn!
They can't hurt us!
Or they do not feel the need to, as yet. They could have something up their proverbial sleeves, just biding their time until the proper moment.
As it turned out, they had nothing. The plane suddenly rose in the air, wheeled around, and sped back towards Slake City.
I'm sure glad to see their backsides.
Did we win already? Is it over?
I am sorry to inform you, Master Calder, that it has not yet begun.
More black wags appeared on the road directly above them. These were not ore trucks. They were attack wags, and they were closing fast.
Ha! Hi!
I wouldn't do that if I were you!
Christy looked over her shoulder as the speaker entered the room. The altered woman had close-cropped blonde curls and pale blue eyes. The charcoal-gray t-shirt the creature wore was skin-tight over a wide, muscular chest. What startled Christy most was the width of her neck. The trapezium muscles formed a broad triangle from below the ears to the rounded domes of her shoulders. Instead of swinging the chair down on the cop, Christy pivoted her hips and brought it crashing against the invader, who raised both forearms to block the attack. Although the blow forced her to take a step back, the chair bounced off and flew across the room as if it had rocket assist.
Not nice!
Shit.
Apparently, she had done herself more damage than her intended target. Her hands had gone numb to the wrists from the shock of the impact.
Come here, little little child. Come to Miro. We'll just take you back to your little playpen.
As Christy retreated and Miro turned, Christy got a look at the mass of weeping sores on the side of her neck.
What's that you've got there? It looks plenty bad. Probably hurts like hell, too. Did you spill a bucket of battery acid on yourself?
Don't worry about that. Just get your ass over here. Don't make me chase you around the room. You won't like getting caught.
Who says you can catch me?
Christy easily moved out of the way, sidestepping the outstretched hand. As she came around on the balls of her feet, she launched a sidekick into the back of a woman's weight-bearing leg. Miro staggered forward, throwing both arms in the air to keep from falling. Christy spun 360 degrees and power kicked her in the throat. The toe of her boot bored deep into the soft tissue. For anybody else, it would have been a kill shot. Miro lurched backward and managed to grab hold of Christy's ankle.
What?
With one hand, the genetically altered woman casually flipped the redhead onto her back. Christy landed on her kidneys. The impact knocked the wind out of her for a second. Long enough for Miro to get a better grip on her left foot, wrapping fingers of steel around her instep. The redhead reared back and kicked Miro in the face with her free leg. Her heel crushed and spread the fragile cartilage in the woman's nose. As Miro's head flew back, bright blood squirted from both nostrils. Staring down at the red streaming through her fingers, Miro withdrew.
You shouldn't have done that. You really, really shouldn't have done that.
Sorry?
Christy was already on her feet and moving toward the wall of electronic equipment. She couldn't reach the monitor with the manacles on it without coming into Miro's range, but she could reach the one with the infrared scan of the oceans. She tipped the screen to the floor.
Oh, hell. I probably shouldn't have done that either.
Miro hooked the fallen chair with her foot and kicked up from the floor at Christy's head. As the redhead ducked and turned, the invader closed on her. The steely fingers caught her wrist and twisted it behind her back. With the other hand, Miro grabbed the back of Christy's head, digging fingers into the mass of her hair, which separated into tendrils and coiled around her thick wrist like miniature pythons.
My, my, what do we have here?
Christy said nothing, and she didn't struggle. Miro held her arm at the dislocation point. Another ounce or two of pressure, and it would have popped out of the shoulder socket. Miro played with the mobile strands.
Does it do any other tricks?
Let me go and I'll show you.
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to go back to your cell. Don't worry, you won't be there long. We sisters have all agreed that you're coming with us when we make the next jump, which should be any minute now. We think you'll make a fine incubator for our offspring. Actually, you're going to be the only incubator for the foreseeable future. We'd planned to recruit many dozens of Shadow World females for the job, but there isn't time.
Christy tried to twist away, but Miro tightened the hammerlock. The pain shot through her shoulder.
When you're 9 months heavy with my baby, mine and Shadow Man's, that is, you're going to be a lot less troublesome. Less likely to spin kick, that's for sure. I know you're going to make a fine mommy for all our babies.
Gaia, damn it!
Christy tried to crush Miro's toes with the heel of her boot. The two of them danced around for a minute before Miro once again got the upper hand. As the woman pinned Christy's face against the wall, the door opened and two troopers entered.
Good! You can help me with this Hellcat! Get hold of her legs!
The taller trooper stepped closer. When Miro turned again, he used his helmet like a cudgel, headbutting her in the middle of the forehead.
Christy, it's us!
Ryan, is that you?
Of course, who else?
The one-eyed warrior unscrewed his helmet and took a breath. His long black hair was damp with sweat.
Where's the comp?
You know, one day when we meet like this, you're going to say you love me.
I'm sorry, dear. Now where's the comp?
Over here, I think. The one that shows all the slaves. Green zone is safe, red zone isn't.
This must be the CPU.
JB indicated a cube from which all the monitor cables emerged.
Should we just unplug it from its power source?
No. I've got a better idea.
Christy picked up the chair and smashed its legs down on the CPU. The first blow made the images on the bank of screens quiver wildly. It took two more blows to crack the comp's plastisteel housing, but on the second one, all the screens went dark. For good measure, Christy hit the thing a few more times, breaking the internal contents into numerous small pieces. While she was doing this, Ryan and JB booted the monitors into similar fragments, turning them into heaps of electronic rubbish.